The topic of artificial intelligence can be discussed from a number of viewpoints, including philosophically, technically, and theologically. Our guest today, Dr. John Lennox, can address AI from all of these points of view. We'll explore his multispectral perspective today on Mind Matters.
Welcome to Mind Matters, where artificial and natural intelligence meet head-on. Here's your host, Robert J. Marks.
Greetings! Ranging from use to future impact, the Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence unapologetically embraces a Judeo-Christian perspective concerning the analysis and the future of high technology. Many phenomena have clear naturalistic explanations, others don't. Some say considering things from a Christian viewpoint narrows focus, and exactly the opposite is true. A greater number of intellectually satisfying solutions present themselves as explanations with this broader viewpoint. Our guest today can look at the AI phenomena from a number of different perspectives. From the technical angle, Dr. John Lennox is highly credentialed. He has the following degrees. I have to take a big breath here. He has a master in arts, he has a master in mathematics, a master in bioethics, a doctor of philosophy, a PhD, and a doctor of science. He is an emeritus professor of mathematics at Oxford University. He is a fellow in mathematics and the philosophy of science at Green Templeton College at Oxford. He is also an associate fellow of the said business school at Oxford University. On the theological side, he is an adjunct lecturer at the Oxford Center for Christian Apologetics and is a senior fellow of Trinity Forum. He is associated with Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, the acronym is RZIM, and has given guest lectures on Ravi Zacharias' popular radio program and podcast, Let My People Think. I know this because I've listened to them. He has a number of really interesting books that I think that you would be interested in if you're interested in the theological aspects of apologetics. Against the Flow, The Inspiration of Daniel in an Age of Relativism. If you think you know Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Bible, you don't. I listened to Dr. Lennox give a presentation on this at Biola, and he brought out some interesting perspectives that I don't think anybody has ever considered before. He's also the author of God's Undertaker, Is Science Buried God? This is this old argument that science and religion are some way opposed to each other when exactly the opposite is true. Science amplifies God and really gives a lot of credence to apologetics. Another one of his books is God and Stephen Hawking, Whose Design Is It Anyway? Gunning for God, Why the New Atheists Are Missing the Target. John Lennox's debates with the atheist Richard Dawkins have cumulatively received over a million views on YouTube. They are excellent. And we're going to put a link to that on the notes to the podcast. But if you go to YouTube and you look under Richard Dawkins and John Lennox, you will indeed find the debate. Dr. Lennox, welcome.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be with you.
Okay, wonderful. I'm going to start telling you about a credential that you have that you don't know about. Are you ready? You have a Bacon number of 2. Now, most people don't know what a Bacon number is, but there is...
Well, it's probably something to do with authorship.
Yes, it is, except it's in movies.
Oh, you really?
You and I were in the movie Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, and your Bacon number is the number of movies that you removed from Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I see.
And so Ben Stein, who was the star of Expelled, was in a movie, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, that co-starred Kevin Bacon. So you have a Bacon number of 2, and I bet you didn't know that.
Well, I didn't know it, but I know about these things because they're in mathematics. There is a thing called the Erdős number. Pál Erdős was a brilliant Hungarian mathematician, and he wrote hundreds and hundreds of joint papers. So if I write a paper with someone who wrote a paper with Erdős, I've got an Erdős number of 2, which happens to be the case.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, here's something that you really didn't know. There is something called the Bacon-Erdős number. It's on Wikipedia, so it must be righteous. It is the summation of your Bacon and your Erdős number. And you, sir, have a Erdos Bacon number of 4, which is incredible. It's better than Carl Sagan. It's better than Stephen Hawking, who I believe has a Bacon Erdos number of 7. It's better than, I don't know if you know who the actress Natalie Portman is, but she actually has a...
I know of her. Yes.
Okay, she has a Bacon Erdos number, I believe, of 6. You eclipse them all, Dr. Lennox. Congratulations. This is something you should certainly put up on your resume there with all of your degrees. A Bacon Erdos number of 4. Excellent. Well, let's get serious. In association with RZIM, you recently gave a very compelling lecture titled "Should We Fear Artificial Intelligence?" And we'll give a link to that on the notes to this podcast. And if you don't have access to the notes, go to YouTube and search for John Lennox and AI, and it will get you there. You brought up a number of different perspectives about AI that I had never considered, and I wanted to kind of go over them with you. One of them that you brought up was the differentiation between artificial intelligence and AGI, artificial general intelligence. What's the difference there?
Artificial intelligence is a technology that is very rapidly growing and finding some extremely good uses, although, as with every new technology, there's a downside. Let me give you an example. Typically, with artificial intelligence, you are using computer statistical methods to sift huge volumes of data for specific patterns. Here's an example. In medicine, you feed into a computer maybe 100,000 x-ray photos of particular kinds of lung disease. And these are all tabulated and fed into the system. Then I come along with my x-ray, and the AI system compares my x-ray with all of the ones in the system, and can, in a very few seconds, come out with a diagnosis that very frequently is better than any human doctor can do. So these are systems that are not intelligent in themselves, they're simply machines, but they're doing what normally takes human intelligence to do. And when you, for example, go on Amazon and you buy a number of things, that leaves a track. And all that information is collected in a database so that when you wake up tomorrow and switch on your computer, Amazon suggests something you might like to buy. That's an AI system.
Now, I would mention, I brought this up a couple of other times, but that works only if you don't share your Amazon Prime with your daughter, in which case you get I get solicitations for diapers and baby bottles. So it isn't perfect. It's an AI which needs to be worked out a little bit more.
Of course, that's true. And there are things that are much more of a downside than that, because, of course, face recognition is one of the big success stories of AI. And that is a positive use, of course, in recognizing criminals in a crowd. But it can also be used for social control. And we find with most of these things that there's an upside and a downside, so that there are major and increasing ethical problems in how to control this. That's artificial intelligence. Artificial general intelligence is very different. That is the quest to build a super intelligence that can act in all fields equal to or better than a human. And Ray Kurzweil, for example, who's the engineering director of Google, he reckons that within about 30 years, we shall achieve what he calls the singularity, where an intelligence will be created that will be able to perform better than human in all areas. So the sci-fi side of artificial intelligence is this AGI systems. And it's AGI that interests people who really feel that we want to escape our human biological restrictions. and perhaps create superintelligence by making artificial life based on silicon. And of course, there's a great literature in this, and people are divided as to whether they think it will ever happen, and others who think it will never happen. So we need to distinguish very carefully between AI, which has achieved great successes and will inevitably achieve a lot more as trillions of dollars are being put into it, and then the quest for this kind of superhuman intelligence in AGI.
Now, there's also another differentiation in AI. That's a so-called soft AI and the hard AI. And what you talked about was the artificial intelligence and artificial general intelligence, which kind of measures the width of the ability of artificial intelligence. The hard versus soft intelligence, or artificial intelligence, measures the depth that one can go. For example, everything that we have today is soft AI. And the Kurzweils and the other people of the world that say that great things are going to happen, that we are going to have, well, great things, I guess, in terms of technology, that we are going to have AI, which has consciousness, sentience, and these other attributes, is someday going to become available. But as an engineer, I look around and I don't see anything that is either general or hard. And I think to actually replicate the human being, you have to have both of them. Are you aware of any AI that can do this sort of thing?
I think most people, serious and open people who work in these fields, would agree with you. I'm very skeptical about this because, as you mentioned, you have two big problems facing any of this general hard AI. And the first one is consciousness. We don't begin to know what consciousness is. We have no idea how the mind, that is, if we believe, as I do, in a mind as distinct from the brain, we've no idea how those interact. And so the idea that we're somehow getting nearer to producing consciousness is, I think, just a phantom. Secondly, conscience. The systems, the machines we build, are not moral beings. Humans are moral beings. And it seems to me here again we've got a very big gap that no one has any idea how to overcome.
You know, in terms of consciousness, when I talk to people about consciousness, I say, I think I'm conscious. I'm not sure, but I'm really not sure about you. So I think you're right. It's the definition of consciousness, which really people don't talk about before, they don't define before they talk about it. And that's something that needs to be done. You know, in the light of Christian faith, and you are a follower of Christ, you made a statement in your presentation concerning the irony of AI enthusiasts for obtaining a super intelligence. I found your take on this to be fascinating. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Certainly. You see, the central Christian claim is that God, who is by definition a super intelligence, has become human. And he became human 20 centuries ago. So the irony in all this I see is here are people wishing to obtain a superintelligence, but one already exists and has been here and is a human with the superintelligence of God. So Christianity, in one sense, has reached the goal long before these people have any chance of getting anywhere near it.
I thought that take was really fascinating. So humans are trying in a way to build a Tower of Babel in a way in order to achieve something that God has already achieved.
That's an important way of describing it. You see, in Genesis, the whole experiment of the Tower of Babel was trying to build a city and a tower that reaches to heaven. And that idea of reaching up to become a god is a central part of some of the writings on AGI. And one in particular, a book that's sold in multi-millions by Yuval Noah Harari, an Israeli historian, It's called Homo Deus, the man who is God. And his concept of AGI is precisely that, a godlike man or a man who is God. And of course, he does not believe in the Christian message, because if he did, he would already have realized that there is a man who is God.
That is fascinating. And I think many other faiths, other than Christianity, actually emphasize the idea that man can become God.
And they do.
That's a little troubling. Dr. Lennox, we have run out of time. Would you come back for a follow-up talk with us?
I would be delighted.
Okay, great. Thank you. We've been talking to Dr. John Lennox on a Christian perspective on the promise and threat of AI on Mind Matters. So until next time, be of good cheer.
This has been Mind Matters with your host, Robert J. Marks. Explore more at mindmatters.ai. That's mindmatters.ai. Mind Matters is directed and edited by Austin Egbert. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers. Mind Matters is produced and copyrighted by the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence at Discovery Institute.